Guys, if you have a Bible, we're going to look at John chapter 2. We're in a summer series in the book of John, so as you're traveling, as you're going about the summer, we'll be in John 2. Welcome home, college students. Sean Noel, good to see you. Come on, stand up, Sean. Yeah, come on. Our Canadian friend. The Knowles, almost a year that you guys have been gone. It's crazy. Would you say crazy yet? Yeah, all right. John chapter 2, we'll read the first 11 verses. If you have a Bible, YouVersion app, it'll also be on the screen. Verse 1 says this: On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. Verse 3, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. And the master of the feast tasted the water, now became wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Let's pray. God, thank you for John chapter 2. God, I thank you that you care about the small things in our life. God, I'm thankful that you love us where we are. And God, I pray whatever is happening in our lives, whatever it is that has our attention this morning, God, I pray that we would see clearly what John 2 is saying to us today in 2018 on Mother's Day. God, a day that we honor and we celebrate, but God, a day that we ask that you encounter your people, that you show us the truth of who you are. God, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Cana was a small village, so no doubt their wedding feasts were a little differently than what we describe today. And I say wedding, there's a lot of you in this room. You can talk about your wedding, how different it was. Some of you, you went small. You didn't care about who was there, just small, intimate family. You more about the honeymoon, more about saving money. Some of you invited anybody and everybody that would come. We all have different views. In this culture, small town, everybody was invited. So much that it says that Jesus' mom was there, Jesus' disciples were there, Jesus' siblings were there. Many believe that his dad had already passed, thus the reason Mary turned to Jesus and not to Joseph. Many believe that. Jesus is about 30 years old. He had already walked and converted a couple people to follow him away from John. And this is what we see. When you read John, you see that he talks about the miracles, but he calls them signs. And I see that in this John chapter 2, we have to see first and foremost, Jesus loved being the life of the party. Okay? That when Jesus went about, he wasn't a man that just kind of suffered through life. Some people might say, well, Jesus was a social being. No, Jesus was the life of the party. Was it because, that's how he was born, that's his personality? No, he was the life of the party because he knew who he was. And most of the time, you and I are not who we say we are, or not who we're intended to be, because we don't know who we are. That's for a whole nother time. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew. And so we come to this point where everyone's there. Their wedding in this culture time usually lasted a week. Okay, so it starts with, and on the third day. On the third day, what? The wine ran out. Okay, this is not a story about alcohol. This is not a story about, you also have to understand culture. There's no soda fountain machines. There's no sweet tea on sweet tea. There's no options, okay? It's either the grape juice that's wine or it's water, and you don't necessarily want the water, okay? The jars that were used during this time, they're empty because they've washed the feet of the guests that have come. So again, sanitation is probably not the top priority of the list. So many times, I think we view God and we view what God wants to do in the big areas of our lives and not the small areas of our lives. That God wants to meet us where we are, and we're not just having to sit around and wait for the big things to happen in our life, that we can come to Jesus. And we can come to Him in the small things and whatever's facing you. And there's trials, there's tribulations, there's small things, but can I tell you that it's not too small for God? Okay? If it's concerning you, it's concerning Him. Okay? Hear this today. So let me ask these questions. Where are you most proficient? Where are you most self-sufficient? Maybe that is precisely where God wants you to believe Him to do something wild and wacky that is way beyond your proficiency or your sufficiency. Maybe that's where God wants you to do something incredible, something unprecedented. I'll never forget 19 years of age. 19 years of age, I'm driving to my, at the time, girlfriend's house. I remember turning on the street I was turning on. I remember the car I was driving. I remember the day that was happening. I remember the cassette tape that was in, connected to my CD player. Kids, a CD player is a CD that you put in and you had to go 1 to 12. Mine that day happened to have Boys to Men, Motown Philly. Because they're back again. Doing a little East Coast jam. Boys to Men, ABC, BBD. The East Coast Family. Okay, that's what I had in my CD player that day. Kids, Google, what is a CD player? That's what was playing, okay? And I can remember that day because I had, to this date, the worst headache I've ever had. And I was new to the faith. And I remember driving, I remember turning, and I remember having this thought, God, if you're a God of miracles, I don't need a big miracle, I just need you to heal this headache. And as God is my witness, my headache by the time I got to 2206 Lynch was healed. I didn't have a headache. You know why I didn't have a headache? Because God cares about the small things that happen in our lives. You know what that did in a newly found person following Jesus? It strengthened my faith. It wasn't in a big miracle. It was in something small, something minute, something you take ibuprofen for. But God cares about the... I'm not saying you don't take ibuprofen. I'm just saying at that point, I was in the car and I didn't have a cell phone. I couldn't take ibuprofen. And I came to Him and He healed me. And I began to see God do small things like that. This is what Mark Batterson says, and I love this quote. I love that the first miracle of Jesus is not about saving a life, it's about saving face. And it reveals how much God cares about the minute details of our lives. God is great, not just because nothing is too big. God is great because nothing is too small. We need to hear this. The wine is gone. A miracle is needed to save a family and the new couple and the ultimate embarrassment of this family. The supply of wine is already running low when Jesus shows up, and it says, Mary turned to Jesus and said, they have no wine. We turn to God when we run out of something. We turn to God when we run out of strength. We turn to God when we run out of money, we run out of options, we run out of patience, we run out of perseverance, we run out of whatever it is. We turn to God. When our sins have found us out, when we realize that we need help, we turn to God. We turn to God when we need help, we see our addictions. The good news of the gospel is that God meets us where we have run out. That God meets us in the place of our need. At first you would read this and you go, Jesus says, woman, and we can't get away with that expression today. I've tried coming home from a long day, the office or the turf, and walk in and say, "Woman, what is for dinner?" And I'm still married. I don't suggest it, recommend it. If you're a man in this room married, you definitely shouldn't do it. But if you're a teenager in this room one day want to be married, do not do that. But Jesus, culturally, he does that. And we know that Jesus cared about the wine running out because he did not say, "Good, they shouldn't be drinking anyway." This was not a moment where Jesus took a stand or no stand. This is where he addressed the Catholics in the room and said, "Bring out the more wine." And every Catholic in this room is like, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's my Jesus," you know. He didn't do that. Jesus didn't look at the family and say, "How dare you on the third day not plan?" He didn't look at the family and say, "How dare you not organize and be planners? And how dare you show your face on the third day? You got four more days. How did you run out? But here, I'll take care of it. I got you, I guess. Little sinners, I got you." He didn't do that. He did not do that. What does Mary know that you and I don't grasp? That Mary, even if you're offended by the moment of Jesus going, "Woman, what does that have to do?" Mary still turns to servants and says, "Do whatever that man says." Why? Because Mary knows that Jesus cares about people. Mary knows that Jesus cares about every part of your life. Mary knows something. And you and I, we skip the small things because we say things like, "God, I got this," or "God, I don't need you," or "God, I'm not going to use this one up on you." And that's not relationship. That's Jesus as a genie in the bottle. That's you getting three wishes. That's not a relationship. A relationship is do whatever he says. That's a relationship. We have to see that the first miracle, Jesus shows that he cares about every aspect of your everyday life. Everyday life. He cares about it. Miracles happen when you and I understand that Jesus cares about our everyday needs. Matthew 11, in fact, we see in Matthew 11 that often Jesus was seen at parties. When he was invited, he was hanging out with some sketchy people, and I believe Jesus was the life of the party because Jesus is talked about in a very... Have you ever been talked about and not been true? That you know of, right? Has somebody in the office ever said something about you? Like, "Man, that guy's lazy," but you're not lazy. You just had something on your mind. Or they said something like, "That guy's really bad with money," and it's not that you're bad with money, but you've had expenses that you didn't plan on. Or whatever it is, they've said something about you. Listen to what they say about Jesus. "The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and other sinners, but wisdom is shown to be right by its results." You know what that means? That means that people were seeing Jesus as the life of the party, and they saw him as a glutton, they saw him as a drunkard, but they said, "Watch, the results will follow you." So this is how they see Jesus. No one ever accused Jesus of promoting an emotion-stifling religion. They accused Jesus of just the opposite. They accused Jesus that everywhere that he went, he was the life and the joy of the party. So much that John 15 says that my joy, his joy, might be in us and that our joy might be complete. God is a God that gives out joy. It's not that he's just the life of the party. He wants to give life. He wants to give joy. And it's not that he wants to change your circumstance. He wants to change you. You and I miss this. We come to God and we say, "God, change the craziness that's going on." And he says, "No, no, no. It's not about conquering this small problem." And it is small compared to God. That's why he says, "Don't despise those days of small beginnings." It is small and compared to him. He says, "But I want to change you." That's the point. Because Jesus' first miracle shows he's all about transformation. See, Jesus didn't just change the taste buds of the people there. Jesus actually changed the water from being nasty river water, like camping water, you know, water that's nasty, and he made it the best wine that they ever tasted. He transformed. And it shows us that it's not just that he replaces something in you, he radically transforms you. From darkness to light, from death to life. He transforms the inside of you, and when he transforms the inside of you, now the outside is reflected of that. See, you and I try to change the outside. We try to behavior modification, we try to change this, we try to give this appearance, and Jesus says, I don't really care about that, because when your inside is changed, your outside will catch up to it. Because our call, what we're called to do, is to be a reflection of what Jesus is doing inside of us. That you and I are made in the image of God. And because we're made in the image of God, we are called to be a reflection of who God is. So if God is loving, then we reflect love. If God is forgiving, then we reflect forgiveness. If God is merciful, then we reflect mercy to the people around us. What is that? He's transforming us from this dark place to this light. Behold, all things are new. He's in the transformation business. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that he, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. And this is the ultimate transformation. Again, we've talked about this. In a culture that believes you can't change, Jesus says, watch this. Jesus says, watch. Watch what I'm about to do. Watch how I'm about to transform. Watch how I'm about to transform the situation. What is he doing? He's changing you. And now your situation is changing because you're changed. You're changed. Jesus' first miracle shows his ways are always extravagant. Jesus said, I didn't just come to give life, I came to give life abundantly. Life to the fullness. Listen to what Paul says. This is Paul talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Anybody catch that? How was he shown mercy? When he was dumb and had no faith, mercy was extended to him. See, you and I, as long as you behave right, I'll extend mercy to you. Clean up, I'll extend mercy to you. Say you're sorry, and I will extend mercy. Paul says, no, Timothy, here's how I received mercy. In my ignorance and in my unbelief, he extended mercy to me. And he says, you are to be a reflection of that to the people around you. That you are to, you don't have to wait for someone to shape up before you extend mercy. And this is what Paul is saying. He's extravagant. He goes above and beyond. He goes farther than we ever thought he would. So much that even the end of this story, they had so much wine. A family is about to lose face, a reputation because they ran out. They're about to be the talk of the town. And now they're blessing people with wine. You kidding me? Because Jesus is always extravagant. Continuing. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life to the full. Listen, we have to see that God comes to us in our petty, small things that we carry, and he says things like, it's okay. I've come to give you life. I've come to save a reputation. I've come to save face. I've come to help you in whatever it is that you're carrying. It's not too small. It's not too big. It's okay. And this is what a relationship with Christ does. This is what John 2 is all about. That John 2 is all about that this relationship that we have with Christ. That you and I get to live this way as sons and daughters, men and women, teenagers and kids. We get to have a relationship that he cares about the small things. There's a good chance that the person next to you doesn't care about the small things in your life. They've overlooked them. God cares. It's not a reflection of your husband or your child, whoever you're sitting by. It's a reflection that God loves you despite you. And that when you're ignorant and you're not believing, he's still extending mercy. So much to the point that his kindness is what leads us to repentance. It doesn't say that his unwillingness to see us. It doesn't say in his anger towards us. He says it's his kindness towards us. When? When is he kind towards us? When we want nothing to do with him. He's kind to us when we say, God, I got this. And I know so many of us in this room, we don't say those things. We don't say like, God, this is too small. I'll go ahead and take care of it. But you know what does show that? Our actions. Our actions. And this is what Mary did. Mary said to the servants, do whatever he says. Can we just for a moment reflect on what the day of those servants was like? They knew they went down to a river and they got water. They knew that they brought the 25 to 30 gallon jug. Anybody? Like, that wasn't light. It's not like your wife turning to you and saying, honey, we need milk from Dollar General. Honey, we need dog biscuits from Dollar General. Why am I going to Dollar General for stinking dog biscuits? It wasn't like that's what Jesus was saying. He said, grab the jars, go down to the river, and carry this heavy thing and put water in it. It doesn't say at that moment they said, why am we even doing this? The water's nasty. It doesn't say that. It says they did as they were told. They went down, they came back. Could you imagine their faces for a moment? When they took the cup and they saw the nasty water that they had filled the jar to the brim, and they saw the nastiness, now the best wine that they've ever drunk. Could you imagine for a second the act of obedience from these servants who had thought they were just running out of wine, thought they were just serving at a wedding, and were laughing probably about the fact that there was no wine. And now they're down in the river and they're tasting the best wine that they've ever had. Could you for a moment understand what is going on in the life of a servant? And yet Jesus, the Bible said, uses this to be his first sign that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior. And you look at that and go, God, you care about the small things in my life. God, you care about transforming my heart of stone into a heart of love and grace and mercy. God, you care that you don't just give me a little, you give me more than enough. This is why John 2 is life. You and I, you know what we talk about? Man, that one lame guy, he was on the side of the road, Jesus healed him. Ooh, let's talk about the lame guy. What about the guy who's blind, Jesus spit in his eyes? That's a really cool story. When we talk about those, you know why? Because that's incredible. Why is this of not equal importance that God, because hear this. And this isn't for everybody. This is for some of us. Some of you will never be the lame guy on the side of the road. But you will have small things every day of your life that are there to distract you. And if you don't take the small things to Jesus, you will now make them big things. You need the small things. And you need a Savior, a God that loves us so much that he cares about the small things. You know what, you guys? Listen, I'm all for doing services and we can talk about the big things. I'm all for doing things where we can talk about sins being found out and people being forgiven and alcoholics coming to Christ. I think those are incredible stories, and I'm not diminishing those by any means. But what about the person who's coming in and their mindset isn't right? What about the person that's coming in and they have a small thing that's going on in their life, and now that small thing they're pushing to the side, and they come in and they, because of a relationship with someone or a relationship with Christ, they're dealing with the small thing, and we don't even ever have to get to the big things. What would life be like if you and I on an everyday basis were consistent and persistent with the fact that there's small things that Jesus cares about? That you and I, we just put to the side and we just go, oh, no, 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 I can get over that, or I can try this, or I can take that drug, I can do whatever it is. What if God wants to heal us where we are right now and you consider it small and God says, I care about that. I care about that. You know why we don't talk about it? Because we got it. We got it. We got it. And we're never honest enough to say that Jesus is usually plan B or C or D, or sometimes he's just not even on the table. That's not why he came. He came so that you and I, continue to put that back up, Nicole, 1 Timothy. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is Paul talking, of whom I am the worst. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I haven't figured it all out. I'm jacked up just like everybody else is. But here's why Jesus came, to save us all. To save us all. That's why when Jesus said, you know what? It's not so much that you're committing adultery in the very act. I'm more concerned than the fact that you're lusting in your eyes. You're lusting in your mind, because that's where it starts. He says, I'm more concerned about the small things than I am about that you've gotten to the big thing. He said, take care of the small things, because that's what Jesus cares about. The everyday detail of your life. What if we became the church that got ahead of the small things and we didn't have to deal with the big things? Now, I know life happens. I know craziness happens. I'm not diminishing those things, but I am diminishing the fact that you and I don't always deal well with the small things. You know, here's the reality in this room. I'll throw myself in this category. I'll include myself. There's some people in my life right now I don't really like. Some of you can't handle that because you put people on pedestals. If I don't deal with that, that could become really big. If I don't deal with the fact that there's people in my life that have said things against me, said things about me, and I've carried hatred or anger, if I don't deal with that, and now all of a sudden I'm wanting revenge, now all of a sudden I take it to the point where I'm beating someone up. Now I'm taking it to the point where all of a sudden maybe an act of murder is happening. You would go, my gosh, that guy, he's murdering someone. What didn't we deal with? The fact that I had anger in my heart and I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't deal with the small things. And now all of a sudden we're judging people who have now done this big horrific crime, but we want to talk about the small things that we skipped over. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying the small things that are happening, we got to deal with. All right? And I know some of you are like, oh my gosh, I wonder who my pastor doesn't like right now. It might be you. It might be you. It might be. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's a big crowd. It might be you. It might be you. It might be one of my four kids. In fact, I can almost guarantee it. We'll deal with that later. We'll deal with that before the sun goes down, buddy. I mean, young lady. I'm just kidding. Would you stand with me this morning? Here's what I know about the first service, you guys. People are dealing with a lot. There's opportunities for distractions. There's small things that are happening. And people are dealing with a lot. It's just whether or not we're going to admit it. And that's the reality. And this is where humility comes in. Humility comes in to the point of, am I going to deal with the things that I'm struggling with, even in a small stage of my life? Am I going to deal with that? Because it's going to take humility. Am I going to deal with that? Or am I going to allow it to continue to grow? And that's the question only you and I can answer. I can't answer that for you. You can't answer it for me. You and I have an opportunity to squash something, to put water on something, or to add fire, to add gasoline. You and I have that opportunity. I can't determine that for you. You can't determine it for me. We have to decide ourselves. Am I going to allow the small things? But just know this. Know this before you know anything else. Jesus cares about the small things that you're carrying today. Don't believe the lie that it's not that big of a deal. Don't believe the lie that Jesus doesn't need to know or Jesus can't handle it. Jesus cares about what is happening in your life right now. Right now. It's got your attention. It's got your focus. It's got your purpose. And He cares about it. He cares about what's happening. Because listen, you might feel love today. You may not feel love today. It does not change the fact that there's nobody on this planet that loves you more than Jesus does. There's nobody. I know your husband treats you great. I know your kids are awesome. They're great. Nobody loves you like Jesus does. Nobody. You have to hear that. And because He loves you so much, He cares about what's happening in your life right now. Right now. Don't allow what other people think about you. Determine what Jesus thinks about you. He cares. He cares. Some of you, you came in and you've made statements like, this is just too small. It's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. It is. It is. Hear this. The disciples could have went and bought more wine. They could have. And it would have cost them a lot of money. Lots of money. Some of you in this room, you've made a mistake. Okay? You've messed up. It's nobody else's fault. It's not life happening. You screwed up. You made a mistake. Okay? Accident. Intentional. It doesn't matter. Jesus cares about it so much that He's not coming to you and saying to you, apologize. He's not coming to you and saying, I'm going to make you suffer a little before I fix this. He didn't come to this family and say, hey, go down to the river, put the water in there, wait a little bit, let these people sweat it out. He didn't do that. You know why He didn't do that? Because He cares about you. He cares about you so much that guess what? It wasn't the worst wine. It was the best wine. It was a statement. It was a bold statement. And the statement was, I got you. I got you. When others don't have you, when people turn their backs on you, He says, no, I got you. I'm saving your face right now. I'm saving your reputation. I'm saving the embarrassment on something that you screwed up on. That is God's grace, that in your ignorance and in your unbelief, when you want nothing to do with Jesus, He says, that's when I extend mercy. That's when I love you. You're kicking and screaming, and He's holding you tighter. He's holding you tighter. He's not letting go. You need to hear this today. That's His love for you. And some of you, you've never experienced that. You had a horrible upbringing. You've never experienced that kind of love. That's how God loves you. And I don't need you to walk out of here and say, wow, that's a great present for the moms. I love the way that I need you to walk out of here and say, all I know is this. I am loved by a Savior, and He knows my name, and He cares about every aspect of my life, and He can handle what is going on in my life. He loves you, and that's what you need to know when you leave here. It's all you need to know. It's all you need to know. So some of you in this room, you're carrying it. You're carrying it. And And I'm just telling you right now, you need to let it go. Let it go. God, today, God, I'm thankful that we can come before your throne. And as we come before you, you hear our cries. You don't ignore us. You've not turned a deaf ear towards us. Your ears are attentive towards us. And you love us because you are the God of miracles and you are the miracle worker. We don't seek a sign. We seek Jesus today. Because you love us. You first loved us. When we were unaware, you loved us. When we were ignorant, you loved us. When we had no faith, you loved us. When the small things had us down and we were throwing a hissy fit, you held us tighter. You loved us. If you're in this room today, this is between you and Jesus. You're in this room today and you just say, yep, that's me today. Something has my attention. It could be a small sin. It could be a small detail. It could be small whatever. But it has your attention. It is controlling you today, whether you believe it or not. It has your attention. If there's something going on in your life, and I'm not going to say what it is, you determine what it is, but it has your attention today. And it's small. If you're in this room and that's you, could you lift a hand? Just lift a hand. Come on, this is not an embarrassment moment. This is a moment where you're saying, yep, that's me. And God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. This is you boldly stepping out. You know why water was turned to wine? Because Mary spoke up. Listen, you're in this room and you're expecting someone to come to you and figure you out. Nope, you got to put yourself out there. Raise a hand. Let someone know. This is you just honestly going, yep, that's me. Someone's got my attention. Come on, hand lifted. This is you acknowledging. This is you being bold. This is you going, yep, that's where I am. And this is you also raise a hand saying, not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. God, I pray for every hand lifted in the name of Jesus. Every hand lifted, every distraction, every financial distraction, every job distraction, every relationship distraction, every anger distraction, every mind distraction that is coming at us today. In the name of Jesus. You are the God of miracles, and it's not a God of small miracles, big miracles, or whatever. You are the God of miracles, period, exclamation point. And that you care and you love us. You love us where we are. You meet us where we are. You don't give us expectations, and when we arrive, you show up. You show up in our ungratitude. You show up in our ignorance. You show up with no faith. You show up. And so, God, today, we lift a hand and we say, God, here we are. Would you show up in our life? But God, would you radically change us? Would you radically change us? Because you are the God that transforms. You are the God that pours out extravagantly. You are the God who loves us. And God, I'm standing in belief with the men and women that have a hand lifted that you are the God of miracles. You are the God that shows up. You are the God that shows up. In Jesus' name. Could you sing this with us? Sing this with us.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us,